Hide your kids. Lock the doors. You're listening to HR's Most Dangerous Podcast. Chad Soash and Joel Cheeseman are here to punch the recruiting industry right where it hurts. Complete with breaking news, brash opinion, and loads of snark. Buckle up, boys and girls. It's time for the Chad and Cheese Podcast.
Oh, yeah. The Colt Brand Series rolls on, sure boys does. And girls.
It sure does.
Douglas Atkin is back.
He's back. I'm giddy like a schoolgirl right now, I'm telling you.
Total Douglas withdrawal right now. We had the whole holidays without Douglas. I'm feeling a little excited about that.
Very sweet. Mr. Guys, too.
If you don't know who Douglas is, first off, you need to stop right now, go back to the first of the Colt Brand Series, and get yourself educated. But Douglas Atkin, he actually wrote the book. I have it right here in my hand. Yeah, The Culting of Brands.
Wrote the book.
Turn your customers into true believers. He was the global head of community at Airbnb, held a position as partner and chief community officer at meetup.com, and literally always one of the smartest people in the room. Once again, I'm a fanboy. That's all you got to say, man.
It's an itty-bitty company, Airbnb. Most people have probably heard of it.
Well, it was when I joined. I mean, it was. There was only 150 or so people in head office when I joined in San Francisco. That's the kind of exciting, weird, and crazy thing about the whole journey.
Yeah, you were there for the whole ride. And what I think is great is you've introspectively written a series of posts on Medium.com that we talk about here on the podcast. And we're now at I guess, post number 5, which is your longest post. So you have a lot to say about this topic.
Yeah.
The title of You Need Core Values, They're the How of Achieving Your Why.
Yeah.
So what was the inspiration on this one?
This is a longer one because it's actually full of some very practical advice about why you need core values and then how to get them and how to make sure that they're core. I found out since we did this whole exercise at Airbnb that people are very, very interested in this. So I decided to sort of lay it down. It only takes like 18 or so minutes to read the article, but there's examples, pictures of what we did and so forth. So anyway, yes. Yeah, so this is core values are taken extremely, extremely seriously at Airbnb. And in fact, when you're interviewed for a job there, you may get like sort of 6 or 8 interviews like you normally do anywhere else to assess your skill on the job, whether you're a good, you know, engineer or a good marketing person, all those kinds of things. But then you're given 2 culture interviews, 2 core values interviews by people who have nothing to do with your discipline. And they have veto power. So you may be the best software engineer in Silicon Valley or New York or Shanghai or wherever it is. But if you don't pass the core values or culture interviews, you are not hired. It doesn't matter how good you are. That's how importantly Airbnb treats core values. And the kind of critical idea here is a couple of things. One is that you're being interviewed to see whether your own personal core values, the values that make you tick as an individual, that sort of drive who you are aligned with those core values that we all share at Airbnb. If they are aligned, then you're accepted in and you're a part of that larger family. If they're not aligned, then it would be better for you and for Airbnb if you find a place where you find a company or wherever you're going to work that has similar values to your own.
Right.
Were these interviews typically regimented with the questions that were asked, or were they more of sort of a small talk situation and getting to know each other?
Neither. I mean, they were very. There is a sort of an interview guide, and the interviewer has a form basically that they have to fill in. Well, what they're trying to find is evidence from your personal life of what your core values are as an individual, and see whether they align with those at Airbnb. And so there's like for every core value, there is a space on the form that the interviewer must fill in to say that there is evidence that you share that value, and they'll write down what it was. And so the way the interviews are conducted are, it doesn't feel regimented like they're ticking boxes. It will feel more like a sort of conversation, fun conversation, but also have earnest parts, because you should be talking about what makes you tick, what your values are.
Real quick, Douglas, we've talked to individuals about culture and how, you know, culture is big when it comes to actually hiring. And we've heard some companies say, yeah, but that can also lead to bias because you can just say, well, that person didn't fit our culture. And because they didn't feel right. You know what I mean? And that feeling to an extent can really be embedded bias.
It could be. So that's why it's not just based on a feeling. That's why there are now 500 culture or core value interviewers at Airbnb, and there's about 5,000 people.
Wow.
Now, so 10%. 10% of the people.
Yeah.
Right. And you have to apply to be a core values interviewer, and you yourself are interviewed and your sort of record and reviews and everything are consulted to see whether you truly do understand Airbnb's values, that you do share them yourself. In other words, you know, you have to be a sort of an exemplar of them. Then you have a training session that trains you how to do the interviews. And then, as I say, you have this form you have to fill in where you have to give evidence for your decision. And you get that evidence from the person. They'll find out whether this person, you know, sort of has an entrepreneurial streak, for example. And then they'll ask that person to give examples of how they were an entrepreneur, and then those will be put in the form. So, you know, I'm sure, like in any field in life, you know, there is unfortunately unconscious bias can slip in, but they try and do as much as they can to make sure it's completely eliminated by making it very, it's not just, ooh, they're not going to fit, not really like us. It's actually evidence-based. You know what I mean?
Gotcha.
And I love that you interview the interviewers. So it's not just picking random people off the floor to talk about culture.
So the reason why the article is also quite long is because core values are really, really, really important for any organization. It doesn't matter whether you're a company or a church or whatever, you know, political party. The core values are important because they are the guidelines, if you like, the kind of, or as Brian used to call them, the rules of the game on how you achieve your purpose. So in Airbnb's case, Airbnb's purpose, as we've discussed, is creating a world where anyone can belong anywhere, which is ridiculously ambitious, as it should be. And we've discussed why in previous conversations. And so there are now four core values that basically govern the behavior of everyone in Airbnb so that insanely ambitious purpose will be made real. That's what they're there for, basically. They are there. They are the how to make sure you deliver your why. The why in Airbnb's case is creating a world where anyone can belong anywhere. So you really need them. And if you don't have them, then it's very dangerous because, you know, you're going to say to people, we've got this amazing inspirational why, this amazing inspirational purpose. And then you're giving them no tools and no guidelines about how to deliver it. So
right.
That's what they are, basically. They are, and the way I think about it is they are the sort of the rules of the game or they define how everyone should behave with each other, relate to each other, and decide things together in order to achieve their collective purpose. It's all about behaving and relating and deciding things together, what we do basically at work.
Yeah.
Right. And don't most companies, you feel today, they're trying to put out a purpose and their why, but
yes,
there's really no how attached to that whatsoever?
Exactly. There is. There's not enough how. I mean, there's some good authors like Simon Sinek who, yeah, you know, writing about how important it is to have a why.
Right.
But there's very little about how to get there. We're idealistic at Airbnb, but also very pragmatic. We're very, you know, okay. So the next question was, we've got this great purpose. How the hell are we going to deliver it? And so that came down to the core values. Now, so what happened was, this is sort of interesting. Oh, actually, before I tell you about how we changed them, because there were six core values originally. Mm-hmm. They were created in 2012, just before I joined, in the summer of 2012. And they were created basically by the founders with some of the sort of longer tenured people, which meant like 1 year, 2 years. The people in the company, that had been going properly really for two. But basically, the founders realized they couldn't be in every meeting and they couldn't interview every recruit, potential recruit. So as they used to do. So, and when they interviewed them, and Brian told this to me several times. You know, they spent a large part of the interviews making sure there was an alignment of core values between this person and the founders themselves and the culture they had created in the company. So they couldn't do that anymore. So they said, okay, we need to create some core values that sort of articulate what we were looking for when we were doing those interviews ourselves, and then train some people we trust who live their core values themselves to do the interviews. And so that's, it all started in 2012. And they came up with six core values, which they did sort of how most people normally do that process of creating their core values, if they do it at all, which is getting the founders or the senior people in a room and sort of hammering out what it is that they collectively stand for and what they believe in and all those kinds of things. So it was done, you know, pretty well, but not as rigorously as I would have liked. At least they did it. Right. And they ended up with six core values. So I'm going to give you, first of all, an example of one of them, and then how, and try and give you an example of, you know, how this core value helped achieve the purpose of creating a world where anyone can belong anywhere.
Okay.
We'll get back to the interview in a minute. Building a cult brand is not easy, which is why you need friends like Rupesh Nair, CEO of Symphony Talent, on your side.
Okay, Rupesh, hiring companies can't hire diverse candidates if diverse candidates aren't applying for their jobs. What should hiring companies do differently to attract a more diverse candidate?
So for diversity specifically, companies should think about why do they want diversity in their organization and ensure that they are bringing that into the conversations about hiring diverse candidates, because that's how they can be genuine about diversity. Because just checking a box saying I want to be hiring diverse candidates is not going to help. So the first thing is thinking about why do you want diversity? What are the different groups you're targeting as you think about diversity, and then bringing those messages, which basically is going to resonate to that particular group of diverse candidates, into your engagement, whether it is kind of as you reach out in the mass media and target specific diverse groups, as you basically nurture these diverse groups once they have connection with you, is very important. Because to your point, you won't get a diverse candidate till you get in front of a candidate. And the only way you can do that is by figuring out what is the connection point between you and the diverse candidate. And it is very, very easy to kind of cast a net saying, I want diverse candidate. But the truth is there are many, many groups of that diverse candidate, and you need to be really clear on who exactly are you targeting.
Let Symphony Talent help activate your brand and keep relationships at the heart of your talent strategy. For more information, visit symphonytalent.com.
So there's cool. there's a core value called be a serial entrepreneur. Be a serial entrepreneur. Very important core value.
And the way that you spell serial, I love, because of the backstory.
Well, yeah. Yeah, so cereal is spelled like breakfast cereal. And the reason why is because I think it was about 2008 or so, 2009, the three founders had been going for a little while, a year or so, and they just maxed out their credit cards. There was no money to be had. They had no investors, all those kinds of things. This is before they joined Y Combinator. And two of the three, which is Brian and Joe, are designers. They were at RISD together and doing product design. So, and also it was 2008, the general election, when Obama was ultimately elected. And they, God knows where they got this idea from, but they said, basically, why don't we design cereal boxes called One Obama O's, and the other one was, oh God, I forgot what it was called.
McCain
Squares or something.
Yeah. Imagine that, McCain Squares. It was pretty square cat.
I know. Exactly. And so they designed these really cool cereal boxes and then spent weeks basically ripping over packs of Cheerios and pouring them into these cereal boxes they designed, sealing them up again, and then selling them on eBay. And they made 35 grand doing that. which was enough to make Airbnb continue to exist until they got to Y Combinator. And, you know, it all went upwards from there.
And that is an entrepreneurial story if I've ever heard one.
Well, exactly. That's why it's called the Be a Serial Entrepreneur. So there are many, many examples of them doing crazy stories like that of, you know, in extremis when you're really having to be creative and take a huge risk. But that's the one that sort of defines that quality. And so, yeah, so there's Be a Serial Entrepreneur. And a good example of that, of how that is sort of used to achieve the purpose of Airbnb is in 2014. So our business, the core business of homes and people staying in people's homes was this was the point in about 2013, 2014, 2015. It was really, really, really taking off. And Airbnb was beginning to be a household name. And we were growing at between 200 and 300% a year just from that business. So, you know, I know it's insane, but most people would be happy with a 10% growth, but this was 200 to 300%, you know, somewhere in between there, at massive scale. You know, it wasn't like a little company growing at that huge rate. It was a big company growing at that huge rate. So, you know, they could have rested on your laurels and said, wow, you know, let's just enjoy this massive growth and make it and keep it going. But that wouldn't have achieved the goal and the purpose of creating a world where anyone can belong anywhere. Because we realized that there was more ways and more opportunities of creating belonging in when you're traveling than simply the accommodation. And so Brian put together, you know, as well as being the CEO and running the company, he also ran this sort of Skunk Works little unit in a little garage in the office called Magical Trips, it was nicknamed at the time. And their goal was to basically reinvent travel to be the ideal rather than the kind of sometimes great, sometimes terrible experience it is right now. And so first of all, they had to do, basically what they had to do, and they knew they had to do this because there is this culture at Airbnb, which is expressed in the serial entrepreneur value, which is don't be incremental. Don't do a little 10%, 15% improvement on what you already have. Mm-hmm. Imagine what the ideal is. You know, imagine there's the world as it should, and then work back from that. Figure out the steps from that to where you are now, and therefore what you have to do to make that ideal a reality. So they basically spent the first few months as this sort of close-knit group. They were a mixture of software engineers and partnerships people, marketing people. It was a whole mixture of people, product people, designers. And the first part was imagining what an ideal trip was. That's a common phrase in Airbnb at the moment, is ideal trip. And they defined it eventually through iterating, coming up with many ideas of what the trip could be like, getting strangers to take the trip, interviewing, finding out what it was like for them, and then improving and iterating and improving and iterating. And so they eventually realized that the ideal trip is something that is, of course, fun, but also meaningful. You know, a meaningful trip now is a very important catchphrase at Airbnb. Something where you come back from that trip and you're slightly changed, or maybe changed in a big way, sort of given more meaning to your life in a way. I mean, this can still happen when you're on the beach. You know, it doesn't have to be wild and crazy. But
right.
The goal was basically to reinvent travel and to make it as the ideal. And the ideal, they realized, having come up with these ideas and interviewed people, was to have some kind of meaningful trip as well as the fun and the new knowledge and everything else they're doing. And so that's exactly what the serial entrepreneur value is about. It's about imagining the ideal and then figuring out the steps from that ideal backwards to where you are now. And then basically that is your, you know, that's what you have to do over the next 6 months, is follow those steps until you deliver the ideal. And they did. And so basically there's going to be, have been, and there's going to be a series of product launches that will reinvent travel, basically. The first one of those was experiences that came out in 2015-16, which is be staying in Airbnb, but you can also go and join a different host in the town you're in who might be, you know, a fanatic and love disco.
Yeah.
I'm just remembering there's a host in LA who does this great experiences where you go to the market, you buy your 70s disco clothes, and then he takes them out to the discos in LA that night.
Chad loves disco, by the way.
Oh, I thought I'd throw that in there. I grew up with it. And so, you know, so experiences basically are about, you know, you're doing something interesting with someone who's passionate about it and who's local, and with other people who are also passionate about it. So that's an example of a core value, being a serial entrepreneur. Was the way this group worked, as I said before, just to recap, is that they didn't seek to find modest improvements on the status quo. Serial entrepreneur value forced them to behave and think and decide in a way that imagined the ideal and then worked back from that to set the path that they would take to get to the ideal.
Was that a hard leap to get employees to make? Because I think in your post, you talk about the typical conversation is, you know, how do we make incremental advances, you know, in the product or features that we offer? And this is really inviting them to think like a small business or an entrepreneur. Was that a really, you know, tough job to do? Or did you find that most of the employees found that a natural thing?
In fact, it was a natural thing because they had been interviewed and got through the core values test where people had already sort of probed to see whether these people were entrepreneurially inclined. And so there's that. And then the second thing is, you know, it's just basically in the atmosphere at Airbnb. I mean, certainly when I was there, I think it still is, where there's this huge urgency to get, you know, big stuff done. And so the incrementalism just, I mean, I joined Airbnb when I was 58, I think. So I'd worked in many other companies and with many other companies of all kinds, car companies, banks, and all those kinds of things. And where incrementalism is the norm. You know, and I always found it depressing. And Airbnb was so intoxicating because there wasn't any. It was basically, there were not in anything. There was no incrementalism. There was reinvent it and figure out what the ideal is, reinvent it, and that's what we're going to do. There is no status quo that we're, you know, unless it's really proven and we have to use it. But basically, we're going to reinvent everything to do with travel and the way you run a business even. And so that's why I loved it. It's also extremely exhausting, but in the best possible way. So as we talked about in our previous conversations about the culture and so forth, the culture was getting a little bit wobbly in 2015. We were worried about it. And I did a whole exercise to diagnose why it was getting wobbly. And one of the three important reasons why the culture was getting wobbly was that the core values were good, but not good enough. The six core values that they had to come up with in 2012. And that people were telling me, employees of all backgrounds, ages, every department, every tenure, location in the world, et cetera, said that we love that there are core values. And we love that Airbnb takes them so seriously. But they're not always great. You know, they're sort of, for a start, there's too many of them. The six. Mm-hmm. And I found every single person I interviewed about the core values, everyone could remember five, but always forgot the sixth. And there was a different sixth. So it was, I mean, that
five's
was a whole...
pretty impressive, though. Five out of six, that's not too bad.
Right. So part of the problem was that we diagnosed is that there were too many, that they were too cutely written and weren't straightforward and actionable enough. And some of them they felt weren't real, that they were aspirational, not truly core.
Right.
So, and I've got this information from them because when I sat them down, I both as interviews and in a group, I said to them, think of any core values. What do you think their ideal characteristics are? You know, should there be lots? Should there be few? Should there be aspirational? Should there be reflect, you know, like a mirror, reflect their status quo? What are the ideal characteristics of core values? Mm-hmm. And I got them to write them down on a card. And so they said things like they wanted few, less is more. This was easy to remember. Right. They wanted them to be real, not corporate bullshit, someone wrote. self-evident, you know, so they're real. Feel like truths and undisputable, unique to us, concise. They wanted them to be clear and self-explanatory. You don't need to decode them. So there were a couple of core values that we had, like embrace the adventure, that were open to too much interpretation. They weren't definitive enough. And in fact, they were being abused sometimes. So like a manager might say, I'm sorry, you've got to work the weekend to get this done. Hey, you know what we say, embrace the adventure. You know, that is definitely not how the core value of embrace the adventure was meant to be used, but it was.
and that's not the adventure that
that's not right, exactly. So the fact that they could be misinterpreted or you know, badly interpreted was not good enough. They needed to be more straightforward was another thing. And actionable for the day-to-day. Someone said actionable, concrete, fewer, clarity, examples in action. So they wrote all these ideal characteristics down on cards. And then I said to them, now thinking of our six core values, I want you to rate them or mark them, you know, against these ideals that you've had. Mm-hmm. So are are core values self-explanatory? Are there just a few of them? Are they actionable? Are they real? And so there's examples in the article on Medium. You can see where people put their check marks and cross marks. But so basically, we didn't do too well. I mean, there was a couple that worked really well. We had one really important core value called be a host, in reference to Airbnb hosts. But basically, be a host was be human, be caring, look out, make sure, help other people succeed, make them feel welcome, make them feel like they belong. You know, basically, like an ideal host at Airbnb, if you were a guest. And that was really, really clear. People totally understood it, lived it. There was no debate about it. But there were others like you know, embrace the adventure, as I say, that were too vague. So yeah. I went back to the founders and said, oh dear, we're going to have to, I'm afraid, change the unchangeable. You should never change your core values because, you know, they are the things, the sort of the guideposts, the foundation of how you behave, relate, and decide to mm-hmm. achieve your purpose. They should reflect who yeah. you are. So they shouldn't really be changed. But I said, listen, we you know, much as we don't want to change them, it would be worse if we didn't because we may end up with these values that aren't ideal, aren't great.
Or real.
We may end up in a place where they're good, but not good enough. And right. so that we end up with a culture that doesn't really reflect what we meant about the values. And that's a much worse problem to be in say 3 or 4 or 5 years' time. Better to change them now than have a culture that's drifted into the wrong direction later. And so they agreed. We like literally held hands and said, okay, we're going to do this thing. And I said, I'm going to go back out and zero base everything and find out exactly what Airbnb's true core values are. Put the ones we have currently aside and just go back to basics. And I also made it really clear to them what we should mean by core values. They need to be who you are as a person mm-hmm. naturally without forcing it. They shouldn't be aspirational, which, by the way, most so-called core values in companies and other organizations are. They call them core values, but actually they're aspirational values, things they wish they would be. Uh-huh. All of them actually were. And there's having an aspirational values can be okay as long as you're clear about that, though. As long as you're saying, we're not this right now, but we want to be, and we want to be, and we want to try. The trouble with aspirational values, though, ones that aren't real, is that over time, when the employees see that they're not living them, or they're not being lived by their bosses, or whatever, or the decisions are not being made, you know, according to the core values, cynicism comes in, it creates a toxic culture, and it could be really, really bad. So this is why you need to have core values. Core values mm-hmm. are reflective of who you are and remind you who you are and how to behave and relate and decide things together. So I do use this to try and get to that. I use this very simple technique that people really like, actually, outside of Airbnb. I think other companies are using it, which is I asked each individual. And again, this is done with people of every department, you know, senior, junior, all over the world. Draw two circles on a piece of paper, a Venn diagram, and they will probably overlap. One circle is called Airbnb, and the other circle is called me, which is you. And what you need mm-hmm. to do is to write down your personal values, your personal core values, you know, that define who you are as a person, as a personality, the things that drive how you behave and relate and decide things with other people. And you split those between the ones you think you share with Airbnb and the ones that are just unique to you that you don't share. So in the overlaps of the circles should be your personal values that you happen to also see being lived and shared by other people at Airbnb. Then on the one side is outside the shared area is going to be the values not shared with Airbnb, but still unique to you. And then I asked them also to write down the values they thought they saw at Airbnb that they didn't share at all. And so to give you, I show a couple of examples in the article, but for example, the ones in the middle had words like authentic, caring, human, passionate, proud, entrepreneurial, disruptive, bold, not afraid to stand out, values-driven, care for people as people, those kinds of things.
Yeah. I love this.
And yeah. So what was great, I had about 300 of these sheets.
Wow. And,
I know, it's fascinating. So, and by the way, this is only half of what I did to get to our core values. This is what I did with the people, if you like, of Airbnb, not the founders, just the everyday workers. Mm-hmm. And so what was great is that there was basically people were putting the same things in the overlaps, more or less. And to make sure that I wasn't just hoping for that and it was really true, I went through every single of these sheets and wrote down every single value that they had written in the middle, the shared part, on a huge spreadsheet, and totted up how many times they had been mentioned. And what I found was that basically there were three big areas that everyone felt they shared with Airbnb. Mm-hmm. And it was that one is that they were mission driven, they were purpose driven, they wanted to work for something beyond their salary, and they totally bought into Belong Anywhere. The second mm-hmm. one was that there was this caring idea, this hostiness, looking after other people, not being horrible and toxic and competitive like us it is in some other companies, but actually helping your colleagues succeed. And then thirdly, the other one was which I called caring. And the third one was daring, which was this boldness, this non-incrementalism, this thinking of the ideal, this thinking outside of the box, kind of entrepreneurial.
You have in this sheet, I just want to make sure that we say this, fuck the status quo, disrupt, rebel, rule breaker, embrace. That in itself, these are the things that you're actually pulling out of your people, and you're finding what that real culture
exactly,
is.
Yes, total
it
honesty.
Is, it is, yeah. So under the whole forge your own path, unconventional, daring heading are things like that. They wrote open-minded, fuck the status quo, rule breaker, pioneer, disruptive, bold, courageous, daring, fearless, confident, entrepreneurial, scrappy, yeah, and so on.
And I love the one that's just like one circle, like yeah, they're all the same values.
Well, so that what was interesting is that everyone they drew the circles and started filling the three areas in. Then they always said, hey, I've drawn these wrong. Can I redraw them? And I said, yes, of course. So they'd throw that away and redraw it always with the two circles with more overlap than they had before. Because they realized when they thought about it that there was a huge amount that they shared in common.
So this is a great exercise.
Yeah.
Oh, it's awesome.
For you, again, because you're trying to figure out the whole wobbliness of the core values, but I think it's also great, just an introspective for the employees who might not realize as much. This really is more of a realization of the things that you do have in common, right?
Yes, it is. It was helping them realize how much we had in common. But the reason why I was doing it, though, was I was zero basing everything. I wanted to find out exactly what our core values were. Because I had a hunch, and also I heard it from people, that there are a couple of values that we had of those six that weren't core, that weren't mm-hmm. real. I mean, people had complained to me about this, that some of them were aspirational and not real. And I wanted to find out what was real, so that we could then go to those values that weren't real and make a decision about them, whether we should keep them or not. So that's what we did. And so that was what was hugely encouraging, and I'm sure you won't get this at some places, is that, as I say, there was a huge amount of overlap. The things they wrote in the overlap were more or less the same across all 300 people. So that was great. And then the other thing that I did to figure out what our core values were was I did a separate exercise with the founders. Because if you're lucky enough to have founders, that's great, because they have a disproportionate influence on the organization about how people behave and relate and decide. And it all started with them anyway. It kind of started from their three personalities and the way they wanted to operate together and build this company. So I didn't do the Venn diagram with them. I did a totally different exercise. Now, the exercise that's normally done by most people that I've seen other people use is put the founders in the room and get them to brainstorm, what they think the values should be. I think that's the wrong approach, personally. I mean, it's fine. It can provide some information. The problem with it, to my mind, is that if you're a leader, especially a leader in Silicon Valley, you are prone to idealism and wishful thinking. Mm-hmm. And so what you're likely to get out of that exercise is wishful thinking, not reality. And I wanted to pin the founders down in reality. I mean, as characters, they are, they are all these things. They are all open-minded and brave and idealistic and creative. So I wanted them, though, to get out of them, surface from them, their core values that is based in reality, not wishful thinking. So what I asked them to do is separate. We had this, it was a Sunday afternoon in March, I think, 2016. I got them into the office. And by the way, in the office, every meeting room is an exact recreation of a host's home somewhere in the world, whether it's in Bombay or Cairo. So what I did is I got them, put them in the meeting room of the very first Airbnb, which is an exact recreation of their own flat that they shared in San Francisco in Rush Street. That's one of the meeting rooms in Airbnb, the very first Airbnb.
Cool.
And I said, it just is a good environment for them to think back to what it was like when that was their office. And I said, okay, so I want you to think of all the meaningful moments in the history of the company so far. And I defined meaningful moments as those moments where you made a decision or did something that, on principle, that expressed your fundamental beliefs. And they're probably moments that had a large amount of risk attached because they were on principle. So write down notes on all of those events. So they did that. And it was great. I got three separate sheets back, each reflective of their personalities. Brian had huge sheet covered with like 40 or 50 events in meaningful moments, which I'm going to give a little plug here, which one of his meaningful moments was hiring Douglas and Chip. Chip Conley was one of my colleagues at Airbnb. He was the founder of a successful hotel chain in San Francisco. And by the way, when he had that there, I said, why is that a meaningful moment? Because we were old, bald, and gay, and white. Because we were. We're the oldest people in the company. We both have shaved heads, and we're both gay and white. And he's laughed and said, no. He said a really nice thing. He said, you're unorthodox people and do things differently. And that was for hiring people at a senior position at that point. Apparently that was meaningful to him. So that was cute.
We'll get back to the interview in a minute. Building a cult brand is not easy, which is why you need friends like Rupesh Nair, CEO of Symphony Talent, on your side. Chatbots are all the rage, but how are they actually helping companies drive better and authentic engagement?
Yeah, chatbots, especially the modern generation chatbots, which basically is more of a conversational platform than a chatbot, I would say, which basically kind of uses NLP and, you know, natural language processing and machine learning effectively helps ensure that the table stake conversations are happening automatically as much as possible. So where it's like, hey, tell me more about yourself. Let me capture your resume. Hey, can you work over the weekend? Can you basically work overtime? Those simple conversations, which basically can be automated and in a very human way, can be taken care of by the chatbot / the conversational engines, so that the recruiters and the sourcers are spending most of their time on those complex emotional human conversations needs to be done as part of that whole process, right? So I think that's where conversation engines are making a huge difference.
Let Symphony Talent help activate your brand and keep relationships at the heart of your talent strategy. For more information, visit symphonytalent.com.
How much do you understand the future of finance? I'm Jim Roos, a top 10 banking influencer and host of the podcast Banking Transformed, where we dive deeply into the rapidly evolving world of banking and financial technology. Join me as I interview industry experts, thought leaders, and innovators as they unravel the latest banking trends, disruptions, and game-changing technologies reshaping the world of finance. Redefine your understanding of the banking ecosystem. Subscribe now to Banking Transformed, available wherever you get your podcast, and now available on YouTube.
But anyway,
that's great.
So they each, and then, you know, Joe put his down. It was all very nicely art directed. And then Nate, who's the most logical thinker of them all, put everything down in order of importance, which was amazing. So then I got them, each of them, to go through each of those events and discuss them with the other two, mm-hmm. which they did. What was gratifying to see was that they shared the same meaningful moments. They all thought the same moments were as meaningful, basically. Then I went back and said, okay, now this is the reality. You've written down the reality here. This is stuff that actually happened. Now I want you to go back over those meaningful moments and extract the meaning from them. What was the principle that you stood by when you made that decision or did that action? And so they went back and did that. And I asked them to read out and show me the meaning behind all of those events and those moments. And again, what was also gratifying to see was that they had the same meaning, basically the same. And it was the same as the people I've been talking to, the employees. Once I got them to sort of narrow it down to three or four key core values, it was in the exact same areas of being purpose and mission led, of being hosty or human, and being and caring, and also being daring and entrepreneurial and creative and out of the box, all of which was great. So now I had, both from the founders and from the employees, some data that was based in reality. It was the founders' core values, basically, that had been subtracted from and derived from actual things they did. Not wishful thinking, but things they actually did. And on employees, same thing. I had values that they felt they actually had seen shared between them and the rest of the company.
I love the grassroots approach to that as opposed to top down.
Right, exactly. As I say, top down is fine. You can do that. But if you just do that alone, you're likely to end up, first of all, with the point of view of some leaders who may well be distant from a lot of people. But secondly, you may well end up with wishful thinking rather than reality. So you need to do both. You know, you need to do both the people and that. So I went back a little bit later with a big presentation with Dave O'Neill, who is my partner in crime on this, someone who still works at Airbnb. And we basically presented to the founders and then to the whole company what we found. And we basically said, yay, it's good. We do share a lot of values, and we all think they're the same values, basically, these three things. Mm-hmm. And the founders, I showed all the sheets that I used to the whole company. It was in a big presentation to thousands of people, you know, broadcast around the world in one of our World App meetings. You know, I showed them their own forms, their own cards they filled in, the spreadsheets, all the worksheets that the founders had used and so on, and said, we've already made some conclusions here. There are two of the six values aren't core. They're aspirational. We had one value called simplify and another value called every frame matters. But anyway, I said, none of you put that in the middle. You didn't share it. It wasn't a personal value of yourselves, except for a few of you, and you didn't see it shared in the rest of the company. So we should dump them. They're not real. They're aspirational. And so I first of all agreed with the founders, and then you sort of announced to the rest of the team that those are no longer our values. We're now down to four. And in the end, what we ended up with is four core values that use the original expressions that we had in the original six, but they were real. I think, you know, this was a bit of a compromise, to be frank, because I actually wanted the values to be something like put the mission first, number one, number two, caring, number three, daring. That was it. That's what I wanted. What the founders felt was that we should keep four, the original expressions that were in the original six of those four, and then add behaviors that really spelled out in black and white exactly how you should be.
And that's the how.
And that's the how. Yes, exactly. So it works very, very well. So one of the original ones was champion the mission, which is this whole mission first idea. And underneath it are the three behaviors. For example, it says prioritize work that advances the mission and positively impacts the community. Build with a long term in mind. Actively participate in the community and culture. So what it's saying there is, again, no incrementalism. You have to do a check. Is what I'm working on today going to advance our mission? If not, then maybe I shouldn't be doing it, or at least I shouldn't be prioritizing it.
Right.
Another one is be a host. And the three behaviors are care for others and make them feel like they belong. Encourage others to participate to their fullest. Listen, communicate openly, and set clear expectations. So it's, again, very specific, setting up the behaviors. And then another one is embrace the adventure. The problem with embrace the adventure and be a serial entrepreneur, but really embrace the adventure, is that it is a little obscure. You need to explain it, but we do explain it with the behaviors. So that one is be curious, ask for help, and demonstrate an ability to grow, own and learn from mistakes, bring joy and optimism to work. And then be a serial entrepreneur has three behaviors, which are be bold and apply original thinking, imagine the ideal outcome, be resourceful to make the outcome a reality. So that was that thing I was talking about where you imagine the ideal, imagine the steps backwards, and then figure out how you're going to get.
And do you bring, I mean, were people like bringing these to meetings and whatnot to make sure that you were in line and you were prioritizing the right way and you're really focused on what the mission or really the why and how was?
Yeah, I mean, even before we did this exercise, but certainly afterwards, people would say in a meeting, yeah, but that's not being a host. You know, that's not hosty. That's we do this, or that's not going to achieve the mission. That's just like, I mean, in fact, in some of the sort of larger meetings we had, some of the complaints that were brought forward, which I've mentioned before in some of the articles and the interviews, is that some of the big decisions weren't living some of the core values or the purpose. Like there was a decision to go after vacation rentals, which are largely managed by professionals, not original hosts. And people said, that's not going to help us create a world where anyone can belong anywhere. That's because they're just in it for the money. They're not, like most of our hosts, doing it because they love it and want to make people feel at home. So that was a very active debate and open and out and transparent. You know, no one was whispering it in corridors. It was sort of out there. So yes, it was always like that at Airbnb, but it's even more like that now. And one of the last things I mentioned in the article about this core values is you can launch the core values once you've got them. You know, if you happen to use these techniques and you happen to end up with your real core values that are actionable and few and so forth, what do you do with them? How do you actually operationalize them and make people live by them?
Right.
So there's so one thing I say is you can launch them, which in fact Airbnb did in early 2017, February 2017, at one of their big Airbnb meetings where they bring all the employees from all over the world to San Francisco for a week of belongingness, basically, where we just form relationships and get to know each other and have fun. The theme of this one in 2017 was the new core values or the revised core values. We went from 6 to 4, and there were big speeches up on stage with the founders, bringing on teams who gave examples of being a serial entrepreneur that they had lived, or being a host, or championing the mission. And then there was a sort of awkward but necessary moment on stage where Brian brought up the other two founders and the leadership team, and they had a mea culpa about how they had fucked up, basically, in many ways, and made decisions or behaved in ways that didn't live the values, and what steps they were going to take to change that going forward.
I mean, that really had to be cathartic for not just them, but everybody. I mean, just somebody, your CEO, I mean, your founders up on stage saying, hey, guys, we really kind of fucked some things up. It's like... Yeah. Whoa, you know, that's awesome. Not to mention it automatically pulls them into the conversation.
Exactly. And it's, but they had to do that also because, you know, this was also partly answering that the problem with the wobbliness of the culture was that not only were the core values not usable enough, but people felt that a lot of the leaders weren't embodying them, weren't using them to make decisions themselves. And some of them, in fact, had been mishires, that they just did not share Airbnb's values and shouldn't have been there in the first place. And so it was necessary to kind of lay all that out and admit it and show how they were going to change, which they did in this huge poll in San Francisco in early 2017. But so that's not enough, though. That's good what they did. They had a launch of it and a mea culpa and showed examples of how they were going to change in the future, but also things they'd done in the past that lived the values. All that's fantastic. But you have to do it every day. You basically have to launch the core values every day, launch the mission every day. So that's what they do. So we've already talked about how all candidates for all jobs are given these two core value culture interviews. But the other thing that happens now is that in everyone's reviews, you know, their performance reviews, 50% of the marks, if you like, are for what you did, like, you know, how good you were at your job, your skills, how you manifested your skills. The other 50%, though, is how you did it. You know, did you launch this amazing product while living the four core values? And you have to give examples of how you did that. And so everyone knows that whether they stay in the company or not, or how whether they're promoted or not, or given a raise or not, is also dependent, very dependent, on how they behave, relate, and decide together according to the core values. So it's built into the review system. The other thing that happens is that every week, Brian Chesky, the CEO, co-founder, does a live Q&A and answers any questions submitted to him by any employee about anything. And he nearly always frames the answers in a way that demonstrates the use of the core values and the purpose. So, you know, he's constantly reinforcing it. What else? Oh, right. All new hires go through a week-long onboarding experience called check-in. And the very first session is 90 minutes covering the founding story, the mission, the purpose of Belong Anywhere, and the core values. And the new hires aren't given their computers until the end of the first day so that they are actively paying attention and, not going to digress. And then there's bi-weekly World App meetings where, again, all the new product launches and works in progress, team updates are all framed in terms of the core values and purpose. So it's being continuously launched, if you like, continuously referred to. It's not something that sits on a PowerPoint or on company mugs in the kitchen and is, never mentioned again. It's used and mentioned by everyone every day about everything.
Which is amazing because that provides a framework for how you do business.
Yes. Yeah. And the other very cool thing is that there was one of these other one Airbnb meetings, I think it was in 2014 or 2015, right at the end, these all staff meetings that happen once a year. The founders got up on stage right at the end of the week and said, some of you have been wondering what we do every day because, when I joined, the CTO was Nathan, one of the founders, and Joe was head of product, so gradually over time, they hired people to do those jobs. So people saying, well, okay, Nate, what do you do every day? Because you're no longer the CTO. And Joe, what do you do every day? What kind of stuff? So that was good. So they basically got up and said, our collective job is to make the purpose real, is to make sure that we deliver on the purpose and we use the core values to do so. And then, so they all went on and they said, our prime job that we own is to champion every Airbnb's Belong Anywhere purpose and the core values. And then Brian went up a step further. He said, this is a quote from him, hold me accountable ultimately. If the founders are caretakers of the vision and the values, then as CEO, I'm really responsible for executing on the values and the vision. So if our vision is to create a world where all 7 billion people can belong anywhere, whether we're on that path or not, that's on me. Right? Because as CEO, you're the key executor. You're the one who executes everything. You're responsible for how the company executes and why it executes and what it executes. So he's saying the three of us are responsible for this, but basically it's on me. And so people do. People do hold him accountable on whether we're achieving the mission or not, or whether he or any of the other leadership team are living the values or not. It's very healthy. It's a very good thing to see.
Well, this overall, again, we've heard and everybody has sat and watched videos of Simon Sinek talk about the why and the golden circle and all those other things. And it's wonderful to be able to bring, awareness to really understand purpose. But there's no question, without the how to execute that purpose, it's really just fluff and it's air. So, Matt, we really appreciate, again, you being able to provide us with context and also the ability to get to that how, right? And not just focus on the purpose. The purpose is incredibly important if it's real, but also how to get it done. So again, Douglas, we appreciate you taking the time, my friend.
All right. Thanks, Douglas. See you in Bear.
Yes, absolutely. So thank you for having me. And it's a pleasure to talk about this stuff. I'm passionate about it. And I feel very, very fortunate and lucky that I was actually able to do it. I'd seen basically purposes and visions not executed or being badly executed in other companies. Right. And so it was a joy to be in an environment where I could go to Brian and Joe and Nate and say, hey, the culture's wobbly, we need to fix it. Or, hey, the core values are good, but they're not good enough. Hey, we need a purpose and we need to focus on figuring out what it is and do it this way. And they would always say yes. They were always up for it. Again, they didn't deal in incrementalism at all. They were all going for the ideal, going for the best it could possibly be.
Well, thanks, Douglas. You're a busy man and it's a happy hour where you are. So we'll let you to your wine and have a great weekend.
Thank you. Talk to you soon. Cheers.
This has been the Chad and Cheese Podcast. Subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss a single show. And be sure to check out our sponsors because they make it all possible. For more, visit chadcheese.com. Oh yeah, you're welcome.
You've got questions, we've got answers. Business leadership, ownership, and sales can be challenging. Tune into the Accelerate Your Business Growth podcast to learn from the world's experts. Join me, your host, Diane Helbig, as I chat with people who have expertise in various areas of business. You'll enjoy the lively conversations that are focused on providing you with the ideas, tips, and suggestions you need to realize greater success. Get what you need for your business when you need it from the people who have the answers. Accelerate Your Business Growth is part of the Evergreen Podcast Network and is available on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.